This is Anthony Iannarino, and you're listening to In the Arena.
Step into the arena. Give it all that you got. Into the arena. It's time to make it your best shot. Chase the dream and break the scene. Your opportunity is right here. It's right here. It's right now. Welcome to my arena.
Jeb Blunt is the CEO of Sales Gravy, but he spends most of his time on the road training really large sales organizations. I just picked up Jeb's new book, People Love You, The Real Secret to Delivering Legendary Customer Experiences, and I'll now buy and read all of his books. Jeb and I talk about the trend away from relationships and towards more transactional sales models, why you need customers more than they need you, how to deal with the most difficult customers, and the challenging task of giving your customer more than is expected. This is the first time Jeb and I have met, but we were fast friends, and you're going to love it. Here we go, in the arena with my friend Jeb Blunt. Jeb, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. It's really good to meet you for the first time. I always feel like we should have known each other long before now, but we got together, and I'm really glad to have you here.
Awesome. I'm glad to be here, too.
Okay, first a setup. I love what you do. I'm into People Love You right now, but I want to set us up for a conversation around the first thing I see is that the world keeps moving towards more and more transactional models. And what people are saying is we need to find a way to be as cheap as possible serving our customers. We need to be as transactional as possible, less attention, less caring, make them do it themselves, make them do it on the web. And we're not really concerned about what that experience is like. And then there's a few voices out here in the wilderness, you and I among them, that still talk about caring, that still use the word love. We're still saying that everything that we're doing is about relationships. How do you see this shift? And tell me why we're right and the people that believe everything is about transactions are wrong.
Well, I tell you, it's interesting because I don't think that there's been a time in human experience where emotional intelligence and relationships have been more important. I mean, recent study has actually shown that it's the relationship that the person has with another human being that has more impact on their propensity to buy than just about anything else in the buying process. In other words, buyers demand and want a buying process that makes them feel good. Now, there are some things clearly that can be bought on the web. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that there are, opportunities for transactional sales all over the place. But if you just look at my business at Sales Gravy, we sell online advertising to people who want to hire salespeople. You can go onto my website, you can push a button, you can put your credit card in, you can place your ad. Simple as that. You never have to talk to another human being. But what's funny is about 90% of my customers want to talk to another human being. They want to have an account manager that cares about them. They want to have someone that takes care of them. They want to have someone that they can ask questions of, that can teach them something, that can help them through their struggles and be a sounding board for them. And I'm finding more and more that that's what buyers, especially in business to business, are demanding. They want salespeople who they can feel that that they can trust and that care about them and that want their business.
I think we're so right on this, and I'll tell you why. I mean, human beings have been around for a long time, and these big things that you're talking about and that I talk about, caring and trust and somebody who can help me, this has been around as long as we've been human beings. And I don't think the advent of the computer, I don't think that the shift that we're going through is going to change that fundamental human need. And it's easy when the transaction is really low and there's no risk associated to it. Like Amazon.com's great. I can order your book off Amazon.com. I'm super happy trusting them with that. But as the decision gets more complicated and as I need more help and there's more at risk, I want a human being that cares about me and that knows this and has that insight. The same thing when I'm trying to hire a salesperson. I need to know my ad's going to work. I need to know it's going to get me the right person. I need to know that I'm going to be able to move my business forward. And I might want to talk to somebody about that.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned Amazon. So I do a lot of customer experience training, and I spent most of March in Alaska working with one of my clients and working in their retail stores teaching customer experience training. How do you make customers feel great about doing business with you? And they're in an industry that is basically at war with itself because they have maxed out the opportunity to go get new customers. The only way they all win is by stealing customers from themselves. But in those trainings, one of the things that I ask people is tell me about a poor customer experience where you were spending your money. So we do bad experience, good experience. So people talk about that. And what's incredible is when you hear people talking about the experiences they have, what they're basically saying is another human being made me feel that they didn't care for me. They were indifferent. But when I ask people to talk about great experiences that they had, Amazon comes up all the time. And it's and what happens is, tell me about a great experience you had with Amazon. And the stories are always around, I had a problem with a product. And for example, one person was telling a story about a printer that they bought from Amazon, and the printer broke. They called the manufacturer, who's on their little packaging says, don't call the retailer, call the manufacturer. And they were told, well, you need to pack it up and pay for the packing, and then we'll maybe send you a refurbished printer. It's called Amazon. Got a person on the phone that cared about them, showed them that they had empathy for the situation, and treated their problem with a sense of urgency and just shipped them a new printer. And this person's telling a room full of people about their experience with Amazon. But what was really happening is they had a great experience with another human being that treated them like a human being. And it's one of the things I teach people. You know, customers are people. They're not a number. They're not someone on a website. They're not a phone call. They're another human being that feels something, that has a problem, that has an issue, and they just want another person to actually really care about them.
That's a great story, and it's a great distinction. Even Amazon has human beings that you can talk to when there is risk and when there is a higher price point, so that they do give you that caring. Let's jump into People Love You. This is sort of a good setup. Let's talk about why customer experience is important. And I love the opening of the book. I thought we'd just share your plane ride. You love the middle seat in the last row because it's comfy, right? And you fire this airline, even though the airline was doing good work. What caused you to leave an airline where you have all your miles and all your relationship and credibility wrapped up there?
Well, you know, it's a great analogy for what we're talking about relationships. And so, no, I hate middle seats. And what I travel all the time. I mean, last year I spent almost 300 days on the road. So, I mean, a lot of time on airplanes. And I've traveled all over the world, speaking to groups, talking to people, spreading, you know, this message about delivering a great customer experience. And so I'm hopping on this airplane last minute. One of my clients called me up. They're in Chicago. They're having a board meeting. They're under the gun to move their top line, and they want me there. So I buy a last minute ticket. I spend about $1,200 on this ticket, and I get on the airplane. I'm the last seat on a 757. People don't know this, but I will take a plane the next day to avoid sitting in a middle seat or on a window. I just have just almost, you know, debilitating claustrophobia when it comes to sitting in the middle seat. And so I had to suck it up and go, because this client was so important and they needed me. So I got on that airplane, I got in the middle seat, but on the way back there, the flight attendant, you know, I was in the back of the plane. I asked her, you know, how are you doing today? And she said, she just kind of scowled at me. And then I said, having a bad day? And she said, every day here is a bad day. And so, I got the message loud and clear. I hate my job. I hate this company. I hate my customers. And, you know, passengers stink. But the thing that was interesting is that entire flight was that way. The flight attendants on that flight were horrible. They were mean. They were ugly. You know, that whole thing, you've heard it before. Sir, you know, put that thing down. Sir, you need to turn that off. Sir, you need to put your seatbelt on. It was just the whole tone of voice. And it bothered me so bad that I called back to my office after I got off that airplane and said, you know, how much money did we spend with this airline last year? And we spent $50,000, 50 grand with this airline. Now, a lot of companies, and you hear this when you're out, you hear people, the corporate jargon, exceeding our customer expectations, you know, customer satisfaction. Well, I mean, on an airplane, we landed, I was alive. That's like check number one.
Pretty good so far.
I was satisfied, and they got me there on time, and my bag showed up. So they exceeded my expectations. I mean, if you've been on an airline lately and you show up on time, your expectations have been exceeded. But I still had a poor emotional experience because the people were so mean. And so what we did was we pulled the plug on that airline. And I can tell you, since that happened, it was 2 years ago, I've flown them once. And it was because there was no other choice and I had to get on them. And I'll continue to do that because I'm not willing to do business with people who treat me with that level of indifference, disrespect, and don't treat me like I'm a human being.
This is the perfect setup for, we'll tackle a couple of your seven principles of customer engagement, but this idea of being transactional, and to the people on that airplane, the flight attendants, you know, you were a transaction, you were a customer. How do you get this mindset shift about customers from they need us to we need them more than they need us? How do you help companies get that mindset shift?
Well, this is an interesting thing. So one of the principles, principle number one, is you need your customers more than they need you. And that's principles number one. If you can't get that, there is nothing that anybody can teach you, help you with, show you. There's no system. There's no process. There is nothing that will work from you. If you don't buy into you need your customers more than they need you, because it truly is a mindset. It is something that happens inside of you and your employees internally and manifests itself on the outside through your actions. And that doesn't mean that customers are always right, because I don't believe that. What I do believe is that customers are always first. So when you sit down with people and say, how do we get there? The only way I found really to get people to get it is to put them in state. And I do that with, let's talk about bad experiences you've had. Because here's the thing, you know, customers are just human beings like me and you. And what happens is when I ask people, tell me about a bad experience that you've had spending your own money, people can articulate it and they get angry. I mean, they get emotional about it and they're pissed off because they went out and spent their money and someone treated them poorly. And their stories come from everywhere. And when you can get people to see it from that perspective, all you got to show them is this. Okay, so if you were your customer, what would you want? How would you want to be treated? It's sort of like the golden rule of customer experience. Treat your customers the way you would want to be treated. And if you can just do that, you can change the meaning of what customer experience means. And that's true with angry customers. That's true with difficult situations. You just have to think about how you feel. And that goes back to principle number two, and that's customers are people.
Let's talk about that one. I only wrote three of them down. I only have three questions here about the book, and you pick the next one. And I frame it a little bit different. I tend to think about customers and human beings, all of us, on a sort of continuum. And I call it, there's a business maturity continuum. And on one side of that are people who are adversarial, and you're a vendor to me, and I'm going to treat you bad because that's my job, is to make sure you get punished. That's on the far end. On the other end are people who are super partner-minded, and they're going to share information, and they're going to make sure that you're good in every opportunity because they need you to succeed so that they can do better. That's the easy side. And I'm not trying to make a judgment here. Actually, I'm making a judgment about people on both sides of the continuum, but I'm trying not to, because we get them all along that spectrum. But you say customers are people, and they're very much, we're dealing with all these human things, fears and angers and not enough sleep and low blood sugar and divorces and kids on drugs and all the things that they're dealing with. But some of them are really hard to deal with. And yet we still have to make sure that the customer experience is right. So what do we do there?
Well, so it's great that you said it. So all those things are happening. So part of it's empathy. I mean, this goes back to emotional intelligence. So emotional intelligence is the ability to perceive others' emotions and also perceive your own. So part of it's developing empathy. And you can actually do that. You can learn how to develop empathy for another human being so that if they're having those type of issues, you can feel it. You can understand it. You can see it from their perspective. But the reason that I say this is that customers are people is really to make a point. I spent 20 years in corporate America. I was a senior executive in a $15 billion company. I worked for a company called Aramark for most of my career. And I would sit in meetings and we would talk about the customer. And we would be having strategic meetings about the customer. But we weren't really talking about Bob, who was buying stuff from us, or Mary, who was the lady that received our goods, or we weren't talking about Joe, who had a major influence on whether we were going to keep our contract. We were talking about the customer as if it was some abstract, not a real person. And so the point of the point of the principle is that people begin to see that all of those things you talk about, divorces and, you know, kids getting out of college and going to college and they're having a bad day and they don't have the flu, is that that human being, that's your customer. It's not a company. And by the way, human beings buy people, buy things from other people. So, and let me throw one more thing to you before you before we move on to the next point. So, and if you think about it like this, if you think about customers or people, customers ask five things. They ask five questions, and they're asking these questions all the time, sometimes consciously, sometimes subconsciously. They want to know, do I like you? That's number one. If they hate you, if they don't like you, they're not going to buy from you. If they like you, it doesn't mean they're going to buy from you, but they ask that question. That's number one. Do I like you? Do you listen to me? Do you make me feel important? Do you get me and my problems? And this is important because we, you know, a lot of the transactional people, they're taking on a problem that is obvious and that they can see, but they never really connect that the human being, their boss is yelling at them because of this particular situation. So do you get me and my problems, and do I trust and believe you? And if you answer those five questions, the person, that human being, is not only going to buy more from you, but they're going to keep buying from you long term.
I got a story. I've written this on the blog some time ago, but I had a client when I was young, and she was the nastiest, meanest, foulest human being I'd ever come across in my life in sales. And she was my account. Luckily, I had a chance to be challenged with this individual. But she would yell, and she would scream, cuss. I mean, just every mean thing that she could say or do, she did. And I didn't let it faze me. But I was too young to recognize there was something happening on her end. I wasn't in tune enough with watching people in pain to pick up on it, which later on I would have easily seen that there was something underneath this. But at one point I sat down in her office, and she sat down in the chair across from me and just sort of slouched into the chair and sighed. And I said, "How are you?" Recognizing that there was something wrong. And she said, "You know, I'm exhausted. My husband's in the hospital dying of cancer. I'm working 12 hours here. I'm sleeping at the hospital. He's just gone through two amputations, and I don't really know what else I could do." And she started to cry. And then I started to understand, you know, none of this has been about me at any point in time, but it's what they're going through. And that's the most extreme, you know, example of that I've ever seen in my life. But that's what we're dealing with. There's a lot of things. The boss is mad, but if we can give him a better experience and deal with that, look, we're going to help you with the problem. We keep him. Let's tackle one more out of People Love You, out of the seven principles. Always give more than is required. I picked this one because it's another tough one. I believe that the more value you create, the more value that you claim. And some of that value is this loyalty that we're talking about. You own the relationship, and you have a firewall built around the relationship because you're giving more. And I think you need that loyalty to grow your business. But share an example for people to understand, how do you give more than is required, and why is that important?
Well, here's a real simple thing. You already made the point. You weren't required to sit down and listen to your buyer's sob story about her husband being in the hospital. That's not a requirement, but you did it, and it made a difference. Because as you were listening to her, you were making her feel important and like you cared. And if you think about it, you know, I got a new cell phone yesterday, and I went to a wireless store, and I met this rep named Nikki. And I was walking in expecting a really big hassle and a whole lot of problem. And Nikki was fantastic, and she was nice to me, and she showed me around. And I'm like a man buyer, you know. When I walk in, I kind of know what I want, so I had a good idea. And but here's what she did. It was really cool. She walked me to the front door, and she smiled, and she shook my hand, and she made me feel like I was $1 million. And right before you called me for this podcast, she called me up on my phone and asked me how I was doing and wanted to make sure everything was okay. And she remembered that I'd got these really neat headsets that works on Bluetooth. And she asked me how that was working, if I had any problems. That was more than was required. She didn't have to do that. There was no requirement for her to call me the next day, none whatsoever. And I had my phone, and if she hadn't called me, I wouldn't think anything of it. But now I'm talking about her. And I would tell someone else to go there.
Who's the carrier?
AT&T.
You bought it at an AT&T store?
Yep.
That's good service, yeah.
Yep.
They got to like this story. Hey, I appreciate you being here. I'm going to point people towards Sales Gravy. I'm going to point them to the book, People Love You. Where else do people go to find you?
You can catch me. I'll give my email address. It's jeb@salesgravy.com, and you can get me there. You can reach me on Twitter @salesgravy. You can reach me on LinkedIn, at Facebook. And if you want to call our office, we're at 706-664-0810.
Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I love what Jeb does. And now you know Jeb Blunt from Sales Gravy also. You can find Jeb at salesgravy.com. If you're looking for work or if you're looking for salespeople, that's a good place to start. He does great work there, and you know he'll take care of you. You can also follow Jeb on Twitter @salesgravy. I'm Anthony Anarino, and you can find me on thesalesblog.com or right here in the arena.